The Fan on Demand. The best NHL analysis and insight is what's on the lunch menu. Eat up. This is Hockey Central at Noon on Sportsnet 590. The Fan.
I don't know whether you have butterflies in your tummy or not, but it's game one of the Stanley Cup Final, and who's on the show today?
Nick Kiprios.
Greatest player that ever played. That's all. Just.
Who are you talking about?
Best player of all time.
Me or Wayne?
Are we talking about Thursday nights down the street here? Because you're pretty good. You have a good reputation there. I was talking to some guys last night who said that you play on a Friday skate sometimes. They enjoy your skill.
Yeah,
I met a guy Wayne Gretzky.
I met a guy last night too that plays with you, and he said he was really surprised at the way you handle a puck. You can tell you played at a higher level than most of the guys there because you handle the puck and you snap the puck when you shoot.
Well, we know that conversation was at the Rogers event because you blew that off.
Darren Millard, Doug McClain, and Nick Kiprios here at Hockey Central.
You're in a contract negotiation, so that's a key card you played last night.
Opening game of the Stanley Cup Final. Wayne Gretzky's coming up in a second, but seriously, why did you? All the bosses were there. Katie Couric was there.
Katie's looking good,
Katie
too.
Katie was there?
Katie was there.
Why?
And you?
She didn't ask about you.
And I'm not.
Does she follow Hockey Central?
She was talking about dating in her 50s.
Yeah.
And I'm looking around. Where's Doug? This is Doug's wheelhouse right here.
Doug's happily married.
I know, but Katie's.
Would you put Katie in the cougar?
Oh, yeah.
Super cougar?
No.
No.
No, 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 no.
No, no, no.
Is she a Hockey Central cougar fan?
Big Hockey Central fan.
Huge.
Good. We should get her on. I mean, we got a loaded show today with Wayne and
and the barber's here.
Queen Street Barber, yeah.
Okay. We'll chat with him in a little bit. So game one, the opening game of the Stanley Cup Final tonight, New Jersey against the LA Kings. LA's coming off this 10-day break. New Jersey is a team that I think some people are surprised at reaching this point, but who would you be more jaw-dropping shocked to be in the Stanley Cup Final?
New Jersey Devils for me.
Even though LA's an 8 seed.
Yeah, for sure the New Jersey Devils. I would never
have predicted
that they would make it. I mean,
I didn't have them in the playoffs.
There was questions as to whether they would make the playoffs.
I didn't
sure
have them in.
Right.
I didn't put them in at the beginning. Right. I looked at 8 teams in the Eastern Conference.
It was hard.
And I thought that finally this is going to be the year where Brodeur finally says it's enough, and he's on the downside, and the challenge would be finding another goalie.
But you would have to say with a healthy Parise, depending whether he came back from that tough, you know, let's not kid ourselves, he missed last year. Kovalchuk, and, you know, was
Zajac was injured at the start.
Zajac was
injured.
We
didn't see Clarkson with 30 goals either.
No, there's a lot of surprises, and especially on the blue line. That blue line you would never predict would play as well as they've played. So, yeah, I mean, they're, to me, the biggest surprise. We all had L.A. as contenders and were shocked at how bad they were all season.
That said, who's the favorite on the hours before game one?
I don't see how anybody can not pick L.A. as a favorite here.
I'm going with L.A., but I tell you, it's with trepidation that I pick L.A. because New Jersey, game seven, have been a very, very good hockey team. L.A. have not seen forechecking like the Devils bring to the table in the entire playoffs. Let's not forget, Sedin was injured in the first round. Elliott struggled with Halak out. Petrangelo was injured. You know what? They caught some breaks, but they've been exceptionally good.
You can't.
And Jersey's defense have not seen a group before. It's like L.A.
You can't go against Jonathan Quick in this series, can you?
Can you go against Martin Brodeur?
Yeah, you can. You can. Have you not seen a few bad weak goals that you can sit there and say, this could go both ways for Marty?
But you know
but
what
you
he's done?
You can't really say that about Jonathan.
Well,
Quick.
You know what he's done, though? The one thing he's done is he blew a 3-0 lead with the Rangers, 3-3, shuts the door. Blows a 2-0 lead in game six, 2-2, shuts the door. And when a game has been on the line, Marty's been as good as I've seen him in a long time, but he hasn't won them games. Quick, to your point, has won them a lot of games.
Yesterday, we were hypothesizing about who would be the best celebrity or celebrity you wanted to see at an LA Kings game in the Stanley Cup final. Here's the best one, number one. Number 99 himself, Wayne Gretzky. Congratulations on watching this market get back into it. I know that you're a big fan of this team, but is there a player in particular, a part of this team in particular, that really stands out for you when you watch the LA Kings?
Well, good morning, guys. Well, first of all, as a team, they've been outstanding throughout the playoffs. It's remarkable. Although the games have been close, a lot of the games, they've kind of breezed through the first three rounds relatively unscathed. When you open up on the road in three cities and win the first two games of each series on the road, you get a pretty commanding situation, and that's what they've done. You know, you look at their team and the skill level that they have now. I think that Kopitar is playing the best hockey that he's played in the National Hockey League. I think we all know how good Drew Doughty is, and seems to get better each game and each year. And the trade for Richards has turned out to be probably a special trade for them in that now there's two centermen, and they can't really just sort of focus on one guy and check just that Kopitar line. But the guy that probably is sort of their leader, go-to guy, obviously, is their captain. Brown has been pretty solid throughout each series and scored some big shorthanded goals, and he sets the tone with his his work effort and his physical play, and he's obviously leading that team in the right direction.
Hey, Wayne, when you look at the path that you guys took to get to a final and the path that this team's taking, it's much different. Obviously, they made a huge statement as an organization when they traded for you. At the time, it was the biggest trade in, I think, professional history. And then it was followed up with the sales of, you know, Bruce McNall, the celebrity push. It just seemed like it got hot so quickly there. And this one's been more of a gradual climb, albeit an eighth seed going to a final. But is that fair to say that maybe this one's just, you know, a little bit more methodical than your run?
Oh, it's a lot different. It's similar in that we started all four series on the road, and then having to win a game 7 in Toronto where they won a game 5 in Phoenix. So there are some parallels there. The teams are different in that, you know, they probably started putting this team together years ago when Dean Lombardi took over, and when he took over, he was very methodical and not just going out and signing every free agent that was available, but was going to build his entire franchise through the draft. They were going to make this be a 3 to 5 year program, which turned out to be that way, and they got themselves into a real strong position. I think that when they traded for Penner, people were looking for Penner to score a lot more goals than he scored here, but he's given them some size and some physical presence in front of the net, and he's scoring some big goals, and that's what they wanted out of him. When you have a team that's got some depth, you're able to move a really good player like Jack Johnson to get a player they desperately needed. They didn't have a natural goal scorer, and they went out and got one. And then the big trade for them was probably the ability to give up a 20-year-old centerman in Shen, who's going to be, I think, just an outstanding hockey player, and a tough right winger in Simmons, to get those two guys up to get a guy like Richards. It's taken so much pressure off of Kopitar. So they deserve the accolades they're getting. They've built a real strong team. They got a young goaltender that's playing as good as any goalie in hockey right now and Quick. And their coaching staff's doing a nice job. So, you know, our team was not as good as this team. There's no question about it. We won. We got there on believing in a group and believing in a team and following a good coach and getting good goaltending from Kelly Rudy, and that's how we got to the finals. But, you know, we weren't good enough to beat Montreal. We lost three heartbreakers in overtime. The best team did win the Stanley Cup that year, and just disappointed it wasn't us. But you know what? It was a great run and something we're all very proud of.
So what about therapy for Marty McSorley?
Like in general?
It's a conspiracy theory that this was there was six sticks measured, and that the cop that did it hasn't been able to sleep since. He feels so bad that he screwed L.A. out of a Stanley Cup. So Marty is sort of saying it was a conspiracy theory that there was a plant, and you know, he's off the hook.
He's
now.
He's sticking with that.
He's off the hook.
Well, listen. I haven't told the story too many times because, quite frankly, nobody's really asked me about it. But we won Game 7 in Toronto. We went into Montreal and we played unreal Game 1. We won 4-1. Kelly Rudy was excellent and outplayed Patrick that night, and we won 4-1. And we were winning 2-1 after the second period in Game 2. And I turned to Luke and I turned to Marty and I said, I can tell you guys right now, somebody's been in this locker room yesterday or this afternoon and measured the sticks. And it's not a big secret. You guys know this. We knew back then in those days which guys on which teams had sticks that might be illegal curves. And it wasn't a big secret. And even though somebody was in there measuring, which we all thought was the case, we talked about it after the second period. So Marty happened to be the guy that got picked, but there was one. He was one of three or four guys that could have been picked. He happened to be on the ice at that time. But listen, had we not had Marty, we would never beat Toronto. Wendell Clark and Marty McSorley in that series maybe played seven of the most physical, tough, hard-fought games I've ever seen two guys play against each other. So we didn't have Marty in that series. Yeah. We would never even got past Toronto. So that's, you know, you live and learn.
That's dirty pool on Montreal side. Yeah. That's
no, it's not. But you know what? The funny thing, Nick, is I told and I talked about this many a time to our guys. Why do we allow people from the other organization in the locker room in the Stanley Cup Finals?
Yeah.
In those days, every team used to supply a visiting team locker room guy.
That's right.
Remember the guy
in Montreal?
Yeah, it's our own fault. I remember saying, we don't need anybody. We were traveling with everybody, including John Candy. We had enough people to look after our locker room, and it was our own fault. It was nobody's fault but our entire team and organization. And, hey, listen, they didn't do anything illegal. They just bent the rules a little bit. But, you know, in saying all that, and I don't want to sound like that's why we lost the Stanley Cup, because the better team won the Stanley Cup. It's as simple as that. When they had leadership from, my goodness, Carboneau and Kirk Muller and Mike Keane. Mike Keane didn't play Game 1, I believe. He was hurt. He came back, and he really gave them a pickup, and John LeClair played as good as he ever played. And, you know, we lost.
You are going to watch this series, I'm sure, with a couple of split allegiances because of the guy that's going to play goal for the New Jersey Devils, who helped you win a gold medal with your team in Salt Lake City. Are you shocked to see him back in a Stanley Cup final?
No. He's a special young man, and he's a special goalie. And I did a thing for E.J. Roddick at the beginning of the playoffs, and we were, who knows who's going to come out of the East and who knows who's going to come out of the West. And one of the things I did say in the interview was, you know, New Jersey's playing very well right now. They really believe in their system, and they got a goaltender who's, quite frankly, as good as any goalie that's ever played the game. And that's where they're at right now. You know, Parise is just like a Brown. They're tremendous captains. They're good leaders, and they play the game properly. They play unselfish, and they play hard. And then Kovalchuk is almost like he wants to prove to people, listen, I'm not just a goal scorer. And I'm not just the guy that wants to make as much money as I can. I want to be a guy that wins a Stanley Cup. And that's how they're playing as a team right now. And I tell this to people, to me, in the National Hockey League, there's four seasons. There's the exhibition season, then you get in the regular season, and then you get in the first three rounds of the playoffs. And each step of the way, the level of intensity and competition and play goes up a notch. And then there's the fourth season, which is the Stanley Cup Finals, and then it goes up a notch there. And now the question is, can Quick match what Marty Brodeur has done in the past and what Marty Brodeur will probably do in this series? And, you know, it looks like he can, because he's played really well for the Kings, and now he's going to have to take his game up a level. And as you know, the greatest feeling as a professional hockey player is sitting on the bench in that game one, and you look up at the out-of-town scoreboard, and there's no out-of-town games. There's only two games left. That's when you know you've made it.
You know, everything changed for this organization when you called them Mickey Mouse. You realize that, right?
Yeah, and you know, the silly thing about it was I was protecting my ex-teammate and old friend Ron Lowe that we beat 13-3 that night. So had he not been in net, it would never have happened.
So, okay, now we're going to put you on the spot.
Yep.
Who are you predicting is going to win the series? And in how many games? I mean the greatest player in the game has got to get off the, you know.
Off the fence?
Off the fence and pick who you're.
No, my name's Gretzky, not Kresgen.
But isn't it bizarre, Wayne, how tough it is to predict this series?
Oh, I think it's impossible. Listen, I love the way Patrick Elias plays. The fact, I say this often, that Larry Robinson is kind of the English Jan Beliveau, and that he's class, and he's a winner, and he just always seems to be there. And, yeah, you know, it's just it's a special situation right now for the Devils. And from the Kings' point of view, this is an unreal run. And, yeah, you're right. There'll be every celebrity in the world will be at the game on Monday night here in L.A. But that's good for hockey. That's great for hockey. I hope I can get a ticket.
Are you getting calls from people?
I'm
wanting
sorry?
Tickets? Are you getting calls from people wanting tickets?
No, not really.
I'm trying to get Blue Jay tickets here for Sunday, and I can't get those.
But, you know, the one thing I will say, it'll be interesting to see if it comes out 0-2 Kings the first two games or 1-1, how they react.
Right.
Because they've been 2-0 coming home in every series. And Daryl Sutter is a really good coach, and he's proven to be a great coach in this playoffs. And, you know, I'm sure he's going to have his troops ready for each and every night. But I think, believe it or not, as we say this, game one really does matter. And if the Kings win game one, obviously everything swings their way. If they lose game one, it'll be interesting to see how they react to some little bit of adversity. You know, not a lot, but a little bit. So let's wait and see what happens after game one. But I honestly, I'm like you guys. If somebody said New Jersey is going to win in six, they could be right. And if somebody said L.A. is going to win in six, they could be right. One time where nobody really has an answer to what's going to be the outcome of this series. It's just, I know it's going to be great hockey. I know it's going to be entertaining. And I think at the end of the day, I think this is going to be a long series.
Will you be going to all the games in L.A.?
I'll probably go to game 3 and 4. You know, it's an exciting time. And you know, I talk to Luke quite often, and I know they're really excited, and I know the Kings players and everybody's ecstatic about this. And wow, this is really special. Usually, we're watching the Lakers at this time of the year out here, so it's a nice change. It's great. You know, it's exciting for hockey. Kids are talking about it. I said, I've been going to my kids' Little League games forever, and the last 2 weeks people are actually asking me for autographs and knowing who I am now because the Kings are doing well. So times are changing here. So, you know what, this is good for hockey. But, hey, listen, I just hope for a great series, and I know it will be good hockey. You know, this is something I think we're all looking forward to. It's going to be fun to watch. And you know what, the biggest thing is, and I talked to Mark Messier yesterday about this, that one thing that hasn't changed, Marty Brodeur is the greatest puck-handling goaltender ever. And if the Kings are going to have any success at all, like Mark said yesterday, you got to keep the puck away from Marty Brodeur as much as you can, because by him handling the puck, the defense never physically get hit, and that's a big part of the Kings' game. They brought up Nolan, they brought up King, and these two kids have done a nice job to identify a sort of a fourth line, grinding line. And they need to be able to get in and forecheck. And like Mark said, they got to keep the puck away from Marty Brodeur.
Dean Lombardi spoke glowingly about the advice that you gave him when he joined the Los Angeles Kings, and now the franchise is back to the Stanley Cup Final. Enjoy games 3 and 4, and watching on television tonight in game 1 and 2.
All right, you guys. Thanks a lot. Anytime.
Thanks, Wayne. Bye-bye.
Thanks, Wayne.
No better way to kick off the Stanley Cup Final than with the former captain of the L.A. Kings.
You and I and John Shannon appreciate that autograph thing. It's a pain. Shanny's found it now that he's a celebrity. It bothers him, and you've lived with that your whole life.
You're okay with people asking for your autograph?
I'm okay. In fact, I encourage them. In fact, I introduce myself to them.
With your Sharpie in your hand.
So they can ask.
With your Sharpie in the handshake.
At the Memorial Cup, Kippy had big sandwich boards on both sides of the set saying Nick Kyprios this way.
We
Nick
Kyprios autograph.
This way. First, I had to explain to them what Sportsnet was.
Our penetration in Shawinigan.
We need to work on that a little bit.
We got to take a break. We'll come back and chat about some of the comments that Wayne Gretzky made, and also get into some other happenings in the National Hockey League. There's some scuttlebutt to get to on Hockey Central at noon. Oh, Wayne Gretzky. That's all. Sportsnet 590, The Fan, and Sportsnet.
Prizes like no other. From a club like no other. The Fan Club. Log on to sportsnet590.ca.
There's some extracurricular activities to come as well today. Kippy, you want to pay attention to this.
Okay.
Not right now, in a couple of minutes.
Yeah.
Because I just want to pick up on what Wayne Gretzky touched on in the opening segment of Hockey Central at noon, going into the curtain raiser of the Stanley Cup final tonight. 2012 features Los Angeles against the New Jersey Devils. And the forecheck of the Los Angeles Kings has been their forte.
Yeah.
To set the tone. How much do you think Martin Brodeur can offset that? And will it be as significant as Wayne and Mark Messier have talked about?
I think that the forecheck on both teams is going to be a major factor. I don't think that the LA Kings have seen the forechecking that New Jersey is going to bring to their to the table. And I, you know, Parise is one of the best forecheckers in the playoffs. He's dead Zook-like on the forecheck, the way he steals pucks, takeaways, creates it. You see Kovalchuk knocking defensemen off the puck on the Carter goal, winning goal. The forecheck of the Devils is Clarkson. It's been better than any team in the playoffs, in my opinion. So I think it's going to be big pressure on L.A., number one. And L.A.'s forecheck is one of the reasons they're where they are. So you got an inexperienced, relatively smaller blue line on New Jersey who haven't seen this type of forecheck. I think it's going to be a real key factor. And let's not forget, Ekman, Larson, and Roosevelt could not handle the Kopitar line. Can Salvador, Andy Green, Volchenkov, Sidlitsky, can these guys handle
the
other
question
big
is, though, how,
I don't know.
And how healthy are they, too?
Well,
because it's been a long road
it's been
for
a
them.
Grind. Although, Nick, since the Florida series, they've seen that was their worst series, in my opinion. I think they've come on and played pretty well since then.
Obviously, we didn't see much of the Rangers-Devils because we were covering the Memorial Cup. But the one question I had coming in with Marty is he as good as he's ever been handling the puck?
No, he's not.
And I say no. And that's the one thing. I think a couple of times he's been burned on an occasion. Sometimes it's cost him a goal.
The Gabbert goal.
He gets away with it. But to me, and it just maybe it's just life and turning 40. But, you know, there's a sense that the alertness or the quickness isn't there as much as it's been in the past for him. And that's the one thing that I think that LA could sit there and say is that he's not as perfect as he's been in the past when it comes to maybe not putting a smart dump in that maybe, you know, if we pressure enough again, we'll find a way to get him to turn the puck over.
Yeah. No, he's not as good, but he's still better than a lot of guys. And he's better than what the LA Kings have faced. Although, did Smith really get to handle the puck much in the Phoenix series? They seemed to nullify him in that series.
And he's really good, too.
And he's, to me, is he not 1-2 in the league in puck handling? And it didn't affect LA's forecheck one little bit.
Marty's not afraid to take chances with the puck.
No.
That's one thing.
Sometimes that's not a good thing.
No, it's not.
But you're not going to find a calmer guy.
No.
Right?
Sometimes it gets him in trouble, right?
Yeah.
He's just so confident in his ability back there.
I think with Marty, to me, the gold, I don't think he's won them games. I don't think he certainly hasn't cost them any. But I'll tell you what, he is the leader in that dressing room. He's the rallying cry. It is a Marty Brodeur playoff run because of being 40 and because of the limited success he's had in the past 3 or 4 years. He's an inspiration.
Where do you rank
team.
This? Martin Brodeur at 40. In the Stanley Cup final.
Johnny Bauer was 39, wasn't he?
Johnny Bauer was 40 when he was in the Stanley Cup final.
Well,
and he won.
It's pretty amazing.
Jacques Plante got there a couple of times, but Yeah. Right? His team's lost the, right. lost the final.
It's a great story after the way he's performed the last 3 years of playoff
was,
time.
Is not more than playoffs. How old was Hasek when he won? 37? 38?
Now he'll be 46 when he goes back.
when he goes back to the Stanley Cup final.
But is it more than just a good story?
It's a great story.
Or is this one of those legendary accomplishments that we'll look back on?
I think winning or losing will dictate that.
Yeah,
I think if the Devils find a way to win, that this will be a huge story.
Because it just does not happen. A 40-year-old goaltender playing in the Stanley Cup final.
Not only that. Is tonight not his 189th consecutive playoff start for the New Jersey Devils? Like, I mean, can you, like, Nick, think about that.
Yeah, it's unheard of.
189 or whatever consecutive starts.
He's never not played bad enough where you would even consider starting another goalie.
Or the coach didn't have the juice to take him out.
No, he's just that good, Mac.
I know. He was just that good.
Over the years, he was just that good.
I'll tell you something. When I coached against Marty Brodeur, you used to love to run into him in the lobby before the game and after the game because he was a great guy. He was a great guy.
Nice talk, right?
And I really enjoyed him as an opposition coach. He'd give you a tap in the, you know, when you're walking off the ice, he'd give you a tap. Or this guy may have the best attitude of any goaltender who's ever played the game in the modern era.
And that's why.
Because he's not a flake.
Well, it's not only he's unflappable.
Yeah.
That's the other thing, too. Was it Rupp who took a shot at him?
Mm-hmm.
Did you see his reaction?
Just stood there. But he didn't flop.
Didn't do a thing.
He didn't try and dress it up.
He didn't do a thing. You know what? He probably fell over backwards enough to make sure that everybody noticed it, but he didn't do anything else. His temperature didn't rise. His heart rate didn't go up. It was just... it's like it never happened.
Do you know those heart rate monitors that they were using on the Nationwide Tour a couple of years ago? You would be able to judge whether or not the golfer was feeling it or not. And
yep.
I'd love to see that on Martin Brodeur.
I bet you wouldn't move a whole heck of a lot. And that's, I think, a key to his longevity is the fact that he's been even keel since he's been 20 years old.
So people make so much, and because they won, and it was the last Leaf Stanley Cup, but Bauer and Sochuk, 39, was Sochuk 39?
Their average.
And Brodeur.
And
Hedberg.
What is it, 80?
Hedberg is
79 years
Hedberg,
of age,
I
average?
Think, is 39.
Yeah.
And Brodeur's 40.
Yeah, it's...
You don't put a team together like that.
With a 39 and 40-year-old goaltender.
And expect to go to the Stanley Cup final. You maybe do that and you build for next year.
Right.
And buy your minor league guy some time.
You don't assume that you need a goalie next year now if you're Lou Lamoriello, do you?
No.
Like he gives you the impression that he will play as long as he can do what he's doing.
Like
today.
He's talking and now that this a win or a loss is not going to affect him. He's planning
on
coming back.
I don't
think
it'll affect him. And he's planning on playing.
At the other end, he's watching Adam Henrique contribute.
Henrique's been a great story too.
Yeah.
I mean, his
polar
agent,
opposites of their career.
Who's his agent? I don't know who his agent is. I'm scared to say who his agent is. I thought it was Joe somebody.
Be scared because you keep...
He's part of the Joe Resnick group.
You keep getting me in trouble.
I'm just... No comment.
When we continue, we'll branch out. There's a great story that goes back... How many years, Doug? How many years
20,
would that be?
20 plus years.
20 plus years involving Nick Kyprios and Doug McClain. Yeah. And I'm not sure Nick's ever heard this story or bear witness to what we're going to serve up to him. Plus, the barber's here. It's all on Hockey Central at noon. Sportsnet 590, The Fan, simulcast on Sportsnet.
Like free sports tickets, trips, and memorabilia so you can trick your friends, colleagues, and mistresses into thinking that you're some sort of high roller? Hey, join the club.
Welcome to the club.
The Fan Club. Log on to sportsnet590.ca. Hockey Tonight with Rick Natras. Tonight at 11. Now more Hockey Central at noon. Simulcast on Sportsnet and Sirius Channel 157 on Sportsnet 590, The Fan.
Yeah. Hey, Jen, do you have the lobby camera going? Jen's working the cameras back there. She's here day in, day out.
Yeah.
Look up there. Who do you got?
Oh, that's, Queen Street Barber, Ralph. He brought in some manicotti for us. And,
Ralph, what's up, buddy?
Hey, if you want a hot shave, I mean, the haircut's one thing, but if you want a hot shave, you hit the Queen Street Barber.
And we know how lazy you are.
All that, the towels and the Italian razors. Oh, my God. It was frightening. Anyway, Tony, we appreciate
frightening in a good way.
When they're talking about razors around your face.
Around your neck and you're saying it's frightening. Ralph, bringing in the manicotti and, it was... Good. He helped me out in a panic when my kid was on his way to Europe and needed a haircut.
Did you see what Schwinnigan did to our host here?
It's frightening.
Can we get a good look?
I'll tell you what, it was no
hair.
Beckham haircut you got.
No.
It's growing back in. It's growing back in. When you go into a barber and I said, can I get a trim? And he went, wait.
We.
Okay. He understands English. Apparently.
You know what? You needed to say, a rat. A rat. A rat.
You just get up and run. But the problem was he's using the sheep shears, and he took off the big strip, and now I'm screwed right away because he's got to even it out.
You've got to go with the, is it the 1, 2, or 3 he uses?
We could have broken ratings records if you didn't get that haircut.
And I didn't know what Garrett had on his head.
What a great job by John Garrett.
He was terrific. He really did.
It was nice finally working with a professional who didn't interrupt.
Jen, I know that you're back. You got the over-the-shoulder camera. Always spying on my Twitter account, too. I know you are. You're looking over my shoulder at the Twitter account. This is, for people listening on the radio, I'm holding up a newspaper picture from... doesn't even say what year it is.
Well, it's got to be...
1990. Yeah.
And this is a picture of Doug 90. McLean.
With the satellite dishes on.
Sitting in the stand. Now, were you posing for this picture?
Yeah, I posed.
Obviously. Do you have neck problems today because you needed to support those glasses? Do you? You got to have some damage
nice
in the
hair,
back of
though.
Your neck.
Nice brown hair. But anyway.
It was sitting in section 206 in Baltimore. You were the coach of the Skipjacks, and you were sent down there, right?
Yeah. Sent down to the minors.
Yes.
It's true, though.
Yeah, it is. Yeah.
So you were sent down to...
Couldn't you have stayed in Washington?
This was a promotion, getting this job.
So assistant coach from Washington to head coach of Baltimore.
Yeah.
Was this your first head coaching job?
David Poyle sort of tried to make it sound like a promotion.
This was your first professional head coaching job.
First professional head coaching job, the Baltimore
State. So it goes through and it talks to Doug. It's basically a feature on Doug getting his chance to be a head coach. When McLean arrived in Baltimore, Baltimore is 26-17-2, tied for first place. And you didn't mess things up.
Mm-mm. Well, I think we were 27-27-2 by, I think, 3-4 weeks later. But the important thing is the record.
The owner says it going.
The owner says he was taking over a winning team. It could only get worse.
Yeah.
And McLean fires back, I was scared. This is a quote from Doug McLean. I was scared. Sure, Baltimore was in first place. But it wasn't like I took over a dominating team. Now you're doing damage control. Like you're building in a cushion.
Totally dominating. Yeah.
Only 7 points separated the first and fifth place teams. Baltimore was expected to make the playoffs. I didn't want to come in and be the reason they didn't. Right. So it goes through all these different quotes from Doug. And then it has the McLean file. And this is my favorite part of this story.
Yeah.
What they say.
Yeah.
Nick Kyprios.
Oh.
Skipjacks player.
There it is.
So I always knew you guys were together in Baltimore. I've seen the team picture, and you guys have told stories, but I haven't seen independent proof and reaction. Right. So what they say from Nick Kyprios, he's not a screamer, but he has a loud, strong, authoritative voice. No tantrums, but he lets us know we played awful. But he said that as bad as it was when we played awful, we have to learn from it.
Good quote. You're a great
Is there anything
quote.
In there about interrupting?
Nope.
No, but just a minute now.
Well, he was the coach, so he got to talk as much as he wanted. So which part of that doesn't sound like Doug? He's not a screamer.
He's a screamer.
He's a screamer.
Yeah.
Doesn't throw tantrums.
So there's two lies right there.
Yeah.
Or did you turn into the screamer and the tantrum
guy?
Yeah,
I was very calm and very relaxed. But I like the second quote a lot better.
Okay, first of all,
Just listen to the second one before you make the comment here. Because I thought the second one really summed it up.
Adds Nick Kypreos. He has tremendous people skills, said Nick Kypreos, a wing with the Skipjacks, who also knew McLean as an assistant. He can read people really well, and he knows how to teach. That is as important as anything in a head coach.
Well, I really appreciate that vote of confidence at that time. You know, it really made me feel good when I read that. So it just jumped out at me as how much I had to do with developing your career.
He has tremendous people skills, said Nick Kypreos, wing with the Skipjacks.
We got a barber in here, for God's sakes. A strange barber. We're eating food from a stranger. We don't know what he put in it. That's people skills.
He can read people really well.
A complete stranger in here with food.
He knows how to teach. That's as important as anything in a head coach.
Well, I appreciate the vote of confidence.
Okay, first of all, ice time depended on it, so I could with the best of them.
Nice
article.
I take a lot of heat from you two gentlemen for my basement.
Yeah.
All the memorabilia, all the stuff that I keep.
You haven't seen anything yet.
The stuff.
You got a sickness on
the wall.
You got a sickness.
Where the hell did you find this?
As I'm trying to move and take big boxes into little boxes, and it just happened to jump out.
I'll tell you what.
It's an article.
I'll tell you why he keeps it. Because ever since that article came out, it's the first thing he takes into job interviews.
So here's the best part about this.
Yeah.
I will add. This isn't the original copy of the newspaper. Yeah. Somebody
photocopied it and sent it to me. I think Jeff Rimmer.
Or did you get out the old razor blade?
No. I think it was Jeff Rimmer who saved that and photocopied and sent it to me.
The original cut and pasting.
Can you do us a favor? Tomorrow or Friday, can you bring the rest of your scrapbook?
Oh, no, I've got some great articles.
I can't wait to see the Doug McLean
Wait till I get into the Florida stuff. You think this is good?
Jen, you want to do one more picture?
Jen.
A shot of that? That is, this is absolutely spectacular.
You know what?
Doug, I can't believe that
you prefer tape or glue when you worked on your scrapbook.
So how many times did they have to ask you, Doug, before you finally relented and agreed to pose for the picture in the stands?
You know what? I used to do a lot of that stuff.
You have the leg crossed, Mr. Casual.
Yeah. Little did I know that I would have an illustrious career after that, and I would end up here.
Now, is that the same? Did they take
this
your
was
glasses?
About this was about Nick. This thing, not about me. This was about
no.
Nick.
This is all about you. This is all about you.
I just wanted people to know how much I influenced your career. And
your
I
new nickname
that.
Is Hubble for those glasses.
Let's talk.
Could you see Mars through those things?
They were satellite dishes.
Unbelievable. That is fun.
Yeah.
So you found this just
I found
going
it when
through
Nick,
crap.
I was looking at I saw
I
Nick Kypreos.
By the way, I played a lot for him.
Yeah,
down
he
there.
Was good. He was good.
He leaned on me a
he
lot.
He was a you know what? He was a journeyman in the NHL, but he was a real good American League player. He was an excellent American League player.
One final question on this.
Yeah.
Before we move on. Did you stop?
Read David Poyle's quote.
Did you stop and read every article that you found when you were going through your stuff? Because you obviously had to read this to find the Kypreos quotes.
I did because of the Kypreos thing that sort of jumped out at me. That's all.
See, no, you know Kypreos is on the
started,
back of the second
no, but
page.
I was checking to see if it would have been in there.
He was starting out cleaning that filthy apartment of his. That's how this whole thing started. Right? The landlord said, there's a bad smell coming out of your apartment.
You can take that piece for your archives. You know, talks about your career.
What did Brian Burke say about the Toronto Sun newspaper?
Let's not go there. That's caused too much aggravation.
You know, anyway,
I'll line the birdcage with that.
He's still paying for that.
Yeah.
That
let's not go there. Anyway.
Nice job, Mac.
Yeah. Well, appreciate it.
We have to get some
words.
Music for your scrapbook segments. We have to get some real, definitive music.
It's great stuff.
Now, will that lead to the Doug McLean story? We've seen the Don Cherry.
What does Scott Morrison do? Right. What are those things he calls the solo squeeze? He does
reflections
with Scott Morrison. I may do some reflections
with Doug McLean.
Maybe in my new deal.
Bob Hartley has a second interview with Montreal?
Calgary.
Calgary.
Yeah.
Calgary. He was on our flight.
Yeah, no, I
know. On
said
his
that,
way, I think.
I said that yesterday. I wasn't sure where he was going.
So, just a minute. Yesterday, he was out of the mix in Calgary. And today, he's... Now, the name I'm hearing in Calgary is Sullivan, New York Rangers assistant coach, as a guy that could be very much in the hunt there. And you know what? It makes sense.
If he, was keep,
with, Kipper, he was with yeah. he was with Tortorella and Feaster in Tampa.
Mike Sullivan?
If you still keep Ginla and Kiprusov and think that you can win in the next year or two, do you not want NHL experience?
Well, Sullivan was an NHL head coach in Boston, and then he was assistant with Tortorella in Tampa and Feaster. You know, so Sullivan's I think he's I think he'd be a strong candidate for the job there, and Bob Hartley as well.
Is the Craig Hartsburg's name is in the mix there as well?
Is the Flames job that you one of those that you want?
I think that you'd want the job up the high down the highway a little bit more in Edmonton. Is that up or down?
I mean that in all seriousness.
No. The Edmonton job is a plum job.
Well, then you come in to still try to win now, right?
Right.
Listen, guys.
And you want to catch it on the way up, on the rebuild.
Any job that pays you $1 million a year,
okay,
and it's one of 30 in the NHL, is a heck of a job. I don't care if it's Calgary, Toronto, Columbus.
The problem is...
They're all great jobs.
They're just...
Some better than others.
They're stuck in between.
Yeah. No doubt about it.
You win now, but you don't have the pieces to win now.
Yeah. I think going into Calgary is going to be, you have some term. You have an opportunity to turn this around. And I think that, you know, Edmonton is going to be a bit of a pressured job because they've had their grace period. They've got to show a major turnaround this year.
And congratulations to Greg McKegg, who has been picked up by the
Toronto
Marlies.
Are we working tonight together?
You and I?
The three of us. You're not in?
I'm not in.
Oh, I thought we were all together again. A big reunion.
They're trying to keep us apart because they're trying
to... Last night I'm watching the Hockey Central panel outside the rink in New Jersey.
No, it's not the Hockey
Central.
And
I'm sitting there going, why is my hair so blonde? And I'm like, that's not me. That's Michael Grange.
Are we allowing them to use the Hockey Central panel?
I think they're the Hockey Central panel now. I'm watching it last night.
Don't we have rights to that?
Remember that Seinfeld episode where Elaine finds a new George, a new Jerry, and a new... And I'm feeling like I'm finding...
Who are
new,
you? Cox?
No, I'm Grange. I'm Grange. You're the bald guy in the middle.
So I'm... Oh, okay.
You're Damien Cox.
I'm Mendez.
Mendez.
I did a good job. I did a really good job.
You asked excellent questions.
Controlling you guys.
No,
I did a really good job.
They're the new Hockey Central panel. We are yesterday's.
Do they have to give us like a present for that? You know, if you get a number from
shouldn't
somebody,
they give us a courtesy of.
If I want the number,
we got the present.
14.
We're not in New Jersey.
I wish I was there.
Yeah, so do I.
I'd be going to L.A.
Yeah, that's a great mall there. Oh, that mall around the old
Thanks to Wayne Gretzky for joining us. Enjoy game one of the Stanley Cup Final.